Hymns of Worship, number 72, I Surrender All. I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow.
Number 54, 5-4, Victory in Jesus. Sorry, number two.
Save your life. Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here, especially our guests that are here in support of Ed and Luba. This young couple, young family, has been through a lot, and yet they're going to have an opportunity to testify tonight that God is faithful, and just like we sang, there is victory in Jesus. So praise God for that. The way the evening hopefully will go is that I've asked Todd to lead them through this testimony. Todd and Nicole have had them into their home a couple times and just had a closer relationship with Ed and Luba, and they've absolutely really enjoyed that. So Todd was kind enough to do that. Mark and Shelley are also here to help in the reading. Ed and Luba wrote down their testimony, and although they understand a lot of English and they can speak it, reading English isn't as easy for them. So thanks, Mark and Shelley, for doing that. So after testimonies, then, Cole, I'm going to ask you to have the baptism prayer. We're going to be just baptizing Ed. Maybe a little bit will be mentioned about that. So I think we're ready to roll. I'm going to have Todd open with a prayer, and we'll probably ask people to kneel for that prayer.
Let's kneel in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and we are thankful that you're here in our midst, and we're thankful that the Spirit is here. And so we ask you to be with us, to prepare our hearts to hear what you have done in the hearts of Ed and Luba. And I just ask for grace for them as they speak and share what you have done. God, we're here to celebrate and to praise you, to be so thankful for your faithfulness to them in their life, God. We are thankful for the opportunity to meet here as a church, for the opportunity to be free, to come and go and to worship you however we desire, God. And we're so thankful for this. We're thankful for the many families involved, for the groups that they accepted Ed and Luba into their home and welcomed them. And we just thank you and praise you for the work of your church and for the glory that your name is as it's spread throughout the world, God. We thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. Ed and Luba, thanks for joining us there in the front bench. I'm pretty used to looking out. They kind of have a special spot that they sit, I feel like. And when I'm preaching or up here, I can look back and kind of make eye contact with Ed and see him there. So it's really exciting to see you up here. That's neat. So there are a decent amount of people behind you. I don't mean to help you remember that because I'm sure it's a little nerve-wracking, but these are the people that love you, that have been praying for you, that support you, and there's quite a few. And so we're really thankful for that. That is really neat. And welcome anyone who, like Lynn said, who doesn't normally come here. We're happy to see you. So the language thing, it is difficult. I've not done something like this before, I wouldn't say. Ed reminds me, actually, at times, Todd, I'm just a toddler when it comes to English. I've only been at this for 2 or 3 years. So I think they do a really good job of speaking for how long they've been here. Actually, a really phenomenal job. And I think we can communicate most things pretty well, but it is a little bit time-consuming, and maybe they don't feel like they quite get what they want to say. So that's the reason that we decided I gave them some questions and asked them to write out their testimonies. So that is the format that we're going to use tonight, because I think it expresses really what their hearts are saying. So Ed wrote it out in Russian, Luba wrote it out in Ukrainian, and then it was translated to English, and then Mark and Shelley are going to play their voices here tonight. Thanks for doing that. And so I think that we can understand that a little bit easier. And I also think that they can maybe communicate what they really want to communicate since it's written out. So, but I'd like to get you guys to hear them talk too. So I think we're going to start, if you don't mind. We're just going to start in Ed speaks maybe just a little bit better, but Luba is definitely coming along and doing well. But maybe I'm going to ask Ed to just share a little bit about you guys, like where you're at, how what life is like, how old your kids are, what their names are, where do they go to school, how long have you been married, some of the basic things about you. If you don't mind, go ahead and start there. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Elder, and this is my wife, Luba. We have three beautiful kids. Olivia, she's 9 years old, and Sava, he's 6, and Bella, she's 3. So we have been living here, it's about 3 years. We came from Ukraine during the war, and we live in Ukraine in the good life, so we're traveling a lot. Then, after we moved from Russia, so we decided to stay in Ukraine and start our life. But in February 22, the war began, and we decided to leave country, and we pray a lot, and God brought my family here in America. We find a beautiful family who's invite us here. Jane run the group.
Yeah.
We're very thankful this family. They do a lot for all of us. So they are a very blessing family for us. Mm. Yeah.
Luba, do you want to just say hello? Just so they can hear your voice.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
My name is Lyubov Shmanova. My wife, it's...
That's okay. You can just... You don't have to share too much if you don't want.
Yeah. God. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, thank you. I thought maybe it'd be fun. Can you tell us how to say hello in Russian?
In Russian, hello would be привет.
Привет. Okay, yeah. So everyone say привет. Okay, good. And say a little bit more. Say, we're in church today.
Мы в церкви сегодня.
Does anyone want to try that?
Мы в церкви сегодня.
Okay, so I think that just gives us a taste for how difficult it is in a different language to communicate well. So we give you a lot of grace, and we're actually excited not to hear perfect English, but to hear what God is doing. So why don't we start with your testimony, Ed, and Mark can read some of that. Thank you so much, both of you, for speaking. You did an amazing job. Yep. All right. So I asked Ed just to share his testimony as far as what God has done in his life, sort of a little bit of background. Go ahead, Mark.
He starts with, hello, my name is Eldar, and I want to share my testimony. I was born in Kazakhstan in a regular family. My father is a surgeon, and my mother is a nurse. My father is an atheist and still doesn't believe in God. My mother believes in God and follows the Orthodox tradition. Although we now live in different countries, we sometimes talk about faith, and I hope she continues attending church. Later, we moved to Russia, and during that time, I started to feel a deep spiritual hunger. I was drawn to churches. I often visited Orthodox churches. I don't know exactly what I was looking for, but I felt peace there. I often sat in silence, thinking about my life. Sometimes, my older brother came to visit, and we went together. I didn't have many people around me to talk about God, but something was pulling me closer to him. Later, I met my wife, Luba. She was already a believer, and she showed me faith through how she lived and loved. She told me about her church in Odessa, Ukraine. When we moved there, we started attending the first Odessa church, a Baptist church. Some of our relatives served there, and we had many conversations with friends and family about God. That was a special time for me. I felt welcomed, accepted, and surrounded by people who really loved God. That was the moment when I started thinking deeply about my relationship with Him. In 2016, I was baptized in an Orthodox church in St. Petersburg. I didn't do it because of tradition or pressure. It was my decision. I felt that God was calling me. I also took communion, and I began praying together with my wife. Slowly, my heart started changing. God was working inside of me. He was softening my heart, removing selfishness, pride, and fear. Later, we moved to America. At first, everything was new and unfamiliar, but God provided for us. We found a spiritual home in the Apostolic Christian Church. It reminded me of the church in Odessa, sincere, biblical, and full of love. Every Sunday, we attend services there. We also attend a Ukrainian Bible group at Pathway Church every Friday. Our Ukrainian pastor, Sergey, leads it. We read the Bible together, sing songs, and share what God is doing in our lives. That's where I started reading the Bible in Ukrainian, and I enjoy it deeply. Right now, I try to study the Bible more, both in Ukraine and English. At work, I listen to Bible podcasts and stories. I found some great channels, and I really enjoy them. They help me grow and understand God's Word more. I'm very thankful that we are here in this country. I believe it is God's will that we ended up here. We are deeply grateful to our wonderful American sponsor family, the Grooves. They took on a great responsibility and welcomed us with love. They did so much for us. Our life has completely changed for the better, and all of this is because of God. I want to serve Him with all my life. Faith for me is no longer just a word. It's something I live every day. It means trusting God when I'm tired, when I don't understand, and even when I fail. It means loving my family the way Christ loves us. It means asking for forgiveness, giving grace, and putting God first. We pray together as a family, before meals, before bed. We tell our children about Jesus, and God is becoming the center of our home. That's why I want to be baptized again, this time with full understanding, faith, and a sincere heart. Not because I have everything figured out, but because I know that Jesus saved me and I want to follow Him for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate that heart. That's really neat to hear. So really, as I'm listening to that story, it sounds like you kind of were reintroduced to the relationship of Jesus in the church in Odessa there. Is that where Luba's family serves as like minister or? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's neat. And then through praying with your wife, you kind of drew closer to God. That's powerful. Wow. That's really neat. All right, let's transition to Luba's testimony now. If you want to pass the mic to Shelley.
I was born into a traditional Orthodox family. We went to church on holidays, and my parents believed in God, but only within the frameworks of the Orthodox tradition. When I was about 13, my aunt secretly took me to another church, one that felt more alive and personal. It was very similar to the Apostolic Christian Church. She would tell my father that we were going to the city, but in reality, she was leading me to services where I got to know Jesus on a deeper level. I fell in love with the church. There, I truly felt God's presence. I cried during worship, and I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. That's when Christ settled in my heart for good. As I grew older and moved away and attended university, life became busy and many things distracted me. Yet I always longed for places where I could feel close to God. I never stopped praying or talking to Jesus, but my focus slowly shifted to the little things of everyday life. Even then, the Lord never left me. His voice never stopped speaking to my heart. In the years that followed, our lives became focused on material things, our home, our comfort, our plans. Our children were growing, and we were working hard to make the plans happen, not even noticing that we were drifting away from what truly mattered. Then the war began, and everything changed. We had to leave our home in Ukraine and come here to a small town in Indiana with a population of just 10,000 people. It was nothing like our city of Odessa, where over 1 million people lived. We lost so much, physically, emotionally, financially, but in the middle of the sorrow, God met us.
Can you stop right there for a sec? Thanks. Just let's process that for a second. It's a really neat thing to think about. I feel like Nicole and I have gotten to know you guys here, but we didn't know your previous life. And this idea of really losing everything, like your house, your car, like everything that you own, it was back there at the time. And I'm trying to imagine me if I had to get up and leave right now, go somewhere, go to Mexico or something and leave absolutely everything behind. Like you left your car behind when you flew here, right? Like you took your car out of Odessa to get out of the Ukraine when the war started, but you had to leave that, right? Like you own nothing now. Now everything is left behind. Wow. I want to ask how that felt. I don't know if you want to answer that, Ed. You're welcome to. He says no. That's okay. I can't ask too probing of questions in front of the whole crowd, right, in a different language. All right, you can go ahead, Shelley.
Personally, it was one of the hardest seasons of my life. I went through every stage of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. There was a deep battle within my soul and in real life. Then one day, the word of God came to me. I heard a gentle voice inside me ask, "Do you have any idea why all this happened?" And I was stunned. In that moment, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit so deeply, it's hard to explain with words. It was like a puzzle suddenly clicking into place. I understood that God allowed everything to fall apart, not to destroy me, but to humble me and build something better. He was leading us through the wilderness to the promised land. He never abandoned us. He showed us his love, not through comfort, but through transformation. From the very first day of the war, we saw his hand over and over again. It wasn't luck. It wasn't our strength. It was God's grace, guiding us step by step, breaking, rebuilding, and restoring. Sorry.
You're great.
And here in this quiet place, we finally slowed down and realized that all the material things we were chasing and achieving had no eternal value. For the first time, we gave everything fully into God's hands. I remembered one moment when we had no choice. We had to drive our children through missile strikes and live in constant fear. I was completely drained and discouraged. I fell to my knees and prayed, "Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I give it all to you. Into your hands, my Father. If this door is closed for me, I will accept it. But if your will is something else, please show me. I trust you with every part of my being." And the very next day, God answered. He continued to lead us step by step. It felt like he wrapped his arms around us and carried us through the storm. Coming here was never our plan. It was his. We have a powerful testimony of how God brought us here. It was his hand, not ours. And here, in this small, quiet town, we are renewed. God humbled us. He softened our hearts. And we fully surrender to him. Here is where we truly accepted him, not just with our minds, but with our whole hearts.
That's beautiful. Thank you. It's so hard to think. Imagine 5 years ago, if we'd asked you 5 years ago, if you'd ever thought you'd be in Bluffton, Indiana, in a church, like there would have been no even guess that that would have been the case. But that's where, as you said, you didn't want to come here, but that's where God led you. And that's how God shaped you. And that's so neat to hear. It sounds a little bit like a Job story, you know, where he loses everything, but his faith remains. It actually strengthened the faith. And now you guys, your faith is stronger because of it. That's so beautiful. I appreciate that a lot. One thing that just pops into my brain, Ed, if you don't mind saying just a little bit. So Luba's sister is still in Ukraine, and they have chosen to stay in Ukraine to minister to the people left behind. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And they do a lot of humanitarian things, and sorry, big words. They help out those who maybe don't have food or resources because of the war, and also pastor a church. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really neat to see them being used by God in that. Yeah, any other thoughts there?
They serving at this church it's about 15 years, and Vladimir, it's a husband, Luba's sister, he's a deacon, and they all things what they do, they do just from themselves. So nobody helps them, and they help old people. Who cannot left the country, who stay in very far regions.
Yeah.
And they help a lot.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thanks for sharing. Yeah. That might be a little scary too to stay because there's still missiles there, right? It's still dangerous for sure.
Yes, it is. It's every day.
Yeah. Every day. Wow.
We suggest them many times, a lot of times, to left the country to be with us here.
Yeah.
And we show them your church, and but the God opened them way and told them they should stay there because they need people.
Hmm.
They have to serve people, and
yeah,
they decided to stay.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing testimony to his faithfulness too. Yeah. So Luba actually kind of wrote two testimonies. Her writing is very beautiful. Shelley, do you want to read the second one, sort of starting midway? To me, the second one tells a lot about where she is with God now and how she's processing life currently.
At my lowest, I collapsed before him. Lord, I prayed, I cannot do this anymore. I'm tired. If you have another way, show me. And he did. Not through comfort, but through surrender. Not by restoring what I had, but by transforming what I believed. He carried me through the wilderness. He broke what was proud in me and softened what had grown cold. He didn't just rescue me from danger. He rescued me from myself. Now my faith is no longer something I reach for in moments of need. It is the foundation I stand on. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he took my sins, suffered in my place, died on the cross, and rose again to give me a new life. I don't carry shame anymore because he carried it for me. I don't chase control anymore because I've learned to trust the one who sees beyond what I can. I've repented. I've laid down my old fears, my pride, my need to understand everything. I've learned that real faith doesn't begin with strength. It begins at the end of yourself. God changed my heart. He taught me gentleness, patience, and peace, the kind of peace that doesn't make sense in the middle of the storm. The Holy Spirit comforts me, teaches me, speaks to me even in silence. I used to be anxious and restless. Now I'm learning to walk slower, love deeper, forgive quicker. Not perfectly, but intentionally. My prayer has become a rhythm in my life, with my husband, with my children, with my community. The Word of God is now not just a book to me. It is where I go when I feel lost. And I want to be a part of this church, not just as a visitor, but as a member of the body of Christ. The church welcomed us with open arms, embraced our family in love, and gave us a home when we had none. Here we've seen what grace looks like in action. Here I found not a community, but a spiritual family. I used to believe in God. Now I walk with him. I used to know about him. Now I know him. He didn't save me once, but he saves me every single day.
Mm-hmm. I used to believe in God. Now I walk with him. That's really neat. That's very beautiful, very heart-touching, very, very excellent to hear. It's so encouraging. If anyone needs a sermon later on to listen to, go back and listen to that. All right. So I asked them also a few just basic faith type of questions and lifestyle type of questions, and I will not go through them all, but I want to go through a couple because I think they were well written, and I think it's a good reminder for all of us too. So starting with Mark and Ed there, I asked, before Christ, what separated you from God?
Before I followed Christ, I was living far from God. I didn't read the Bible, I didn't know the truth about him, and I was not living according to his will. I had no real relationship with God. My life was focused on myself. Even though I wasn't a criminal or a bad person in the world's eyes, I understand now that sin means living without God. That's what separated me from him.
Wow. Yeah. We've all been there, right? And then, what does it mean to repent?
To repent means to turn away from sin and turn to God. It's not just saying sorry. It means changing your heart and your actions. In my life, repentance means I try to leave behind my old habits and thoughts and live the way God wants me to.
Beautiful. If you could pass the mic back to Shelley, we asked Luba, what does faith in Jesus look like in your life today? It's number four, I think.
Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry. Here it is. Faith is trusting God even when I don't understand what's happening. It means believing that God is good even in the middle of pain or fear. Faith became real for me during the hardest times when we fled Ukraine, lost our home, and didn't know what would come next. I had no plan or control. All I had was God. Faith looked like falling on my knees and saying, Lord, I trust you, even when I don't see the answer. Faith means living with open hands, surrendering our fears, our future, our family to God. It's not always easy, but it's where I find peace. We didn't know what would happen, but we believed God had a plan for our family. It's like when Peter walked on water, he stayed above the waves as long as his eyes were on Jesus. But when he looked at the wind and the waves, he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. This is the moment his faith became pure, without props, without guarantees. The same happened to me. My life was completely reset. We used to own houses, and now we don't even have a home. Our certainty about tomorrow. Emotionally, I was burned out, went through denial, lost all the strength to move forward, and it was in that moment my faith became unshakable. Like stone.
That's really neat. Praise God for that. That's wonderful to hear. So then I asked him a little bit about reading and praying. And Ed or Mark, tell us about your reading of the Bible.
I started reading the Bible here in America. Every Friday, I read it in a Ukrainian Bible group at our church. I also try to listen or read on my own, sometimes in Ukrainian, sometimes in English. I'm still learning, but I want to know God's word better.
That's great. It would be tricky. It's preached here in English, and your native language is Russian, but yet you also read it in Ukrainian. That's, well, yep, that sounds like a challenge. Yeah. He's smiling pretty big up here. It looks like a challenge he's up to. And then, Luba, what does prayer look like in your daily life?
Prayer is a natural, a constant part of my life. I pray when I drive, when I cook, when I fall asleep. Every evening, I pray with my husband and our children. We always pray together and take time to thank God for five good things that happened that day. We don't just pray for needs. We thank him for everything, even the small moments. We also have a small group of other Ukrainians where we pray and worship together. I'm also part of a women's Bible group where we pray for each other and our families. But when life gets really heavy, I go to a quiet room where it's just me and God. There I meet with the living God, my creator, who always listens, always comforts, and always answers, even if the answers take time. In those moments, I cry, speak, sit in silence, and feel his presence. He is real, and he is near.
Thanks. I wanted to ask that question because it was through praying with Ed that drew him closer. And so you must have a very alive prayer life, really depending on him. And you can definitely hear that as you talk. That's really neat. All right, just two more questions, and then I think I'll be done here. Luba, why do you want to be a part of this church?
We want to be part of this church because this is where God led us, and this church welcomed us with open arms. Our host family, who are members of this church, showed us love and patience. They taught us to trust, to be thankful, and to keep going. Our children began attending Sunday school here, and they love it. We appreciate the kind of people who serve here. We feel safe, loved, and supported. We are deeply grateful to the Apostolic Christian Church for accepting us as we are and for showing us Christ's love in action.
Well, we're thankful to have you a part. That's really neat. And then last question, Ed. What does it look like to be part of a church or a community of believers?
It means we are not alone. We are like one family, helping each other, praying together, learning together, and serving others. Being part of a church helps me grow in faith and live the way Jesus teaches.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a pretty big part of our life, right? Living and loving other people and encouraging each other. Yeah. So I think it's hard for me to understand the past. What was it like for you in Ukraine? The war that's there. I'm sure that still weighs pretty heavy on your heart. A lot of your whole life is still in a war right now. Your whole previous life. How can we pray for Ukraine? Or how can we join you in praying for Ukraine? Do you have any thoughts there?
I think blessing people that the war is over, should over pretty soon, because it's really hard to imagine what's happened every day. It's not showing on TV. You never seen this. People deserve life, live or not die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to pray for Ukraine.
Yeah.
The wars will over.
Yeah.
Will end
for the
very soon.
Killing to be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. I have appreciated this. It's really good to get to know you. I'm going to let Lynn finish up here.
I really believe that there's much we could learn from you two, and hopefully that we can help each other along the way. I'd like to ask the church to stand and show their support for you guys becoming members of this church by standing. And I'll just do that at this time. All those that can support Ed and Luba as members of this church, would you show that support by standing? And Ed and Luba, would you stand up and just take a look who the support is behind you so you can visually see it? See who's there. Thank you. You can be seated. I hope you can remember, I hope this evening is a beautiful memory. It was powerful for me to hear it again, so thank you. We're going to move towards a baptism, and so why don't we stand and sing 163 in the Zion's Harp like we traditionally do. And Cole, if you'd make your way up here, Mark will give you the mic and the mic stand for the baptism prayer. Thank you. 163.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it has been good to be here. We are so thankful to hear the testimony of Ed and Luva, and we're so excited, Father, to welcome them into our church family. Bless them for the effort they put into their testimonies. Bless them for sharing about Jesus in their lives to us tonight. As we prepare for baptism, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this sacred rite. We thank you, Father, for this visible symbol of the burial of the old self and rising new again, a symbol of life, a symbol of a second chance, a symbol of joy, and a sweet memory of Jesus, our Savior, who rose from the grave as well. Father, impress upon all of us here tonight as we watch this baptism about your great love for all of us. And may we all be reminded that your love is not bound by language or by place. For Father, you are the creator of all. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Ed, do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he suffered in your place, died on the cross, and rose again so that you could have new life?
Yes.
Have you repented of your sins, and do you believe that you have peace with God?
Yes, I repent.
And that you can look forward to a home in heaven someday?
Yeah.
Would you then be willing to recommit or reaffirm your baptism vows, wanting to be, by his grace, true and faithful to him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Based on your testimony of faith that you love the Lord, you'll be baptized in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're just going to have two more things yet. Actually, he has to get into dry clothes. That's one. But the other one, that we'll have a dedication prayer for Ed and Luba. We'll invite you all to stay for that. And then if you would stay around to welcome them into the fold. So why don't we sing, is it 34? In the hymns of worship, 34, we'll sing a few songs here together. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to ask the congregation to stand, and Ed and Luba will kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for purchasing this dear couple, for taking their sins and nailing their sins to the cross. Thank you for their beautiful children, for blessing them with good, healthy children who love to come to Sunday school and hear about Jesus. Thank you for bringing them to this country and allowing them to get to know so many people. And we pray that as a church that we can welcome them in and we can learn together how to better serve the Lord, that their experiences and their hardships have made them who they are today and will continue to shape them in beautiful ways. So take that hard stuff. Take the difficulties, the things that they would have never asked for, the loss of financial things, the loss of a home, vehicle, all of those things, separation from family. And Lord, use it for your glory, your purposes, because nothing is wasted when Jesus is in the center of it. Thank you, as Luba said, that she doesn't have to have shame anymore because Jesus carries and took her shame. That we don't have to have as much control as we think because we want to give control to him. May that mark their lives in beautiful ways. That Ed and Luba together, as husband and wife, can serve the Lord and have great joy, can point their children towards Jesus, can testify of your goodness all their days long, all their days. Lord, they both have such a positive attitude. They see God's hand in so much. They're smart, they're hardworking, and very good with words. So use all of that for your honor and glory. We thank you for the beautiful smile that Luba has. It just radiates. And it's mostly because she has the love of Jesus in her. Lord, so we commit them to your service. We consecrate them in every way so that they can testify. Thank you so much for their support, their other Ukrainian friends that they have become close to. Help them to be a benefit to the Friday evening worship service with Sergey and his people that are your people. And bless them, Lord, because we're all part of the body of Christ, wanting to serve the Lord and be faithful as we live our life. We commit this dear family. We love them, and not nearly as much as you do. And in the powerful and the beautiful name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So Ed and Luba will be here in the front, and just ask the church to maybe begin, especially the invited guests, to begin a receiving line. And thank you very much for being here, and we welcome you too.
We'll now sing number 13 from the Hymns of Worship. Number 13, We Will Glorify.